640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Communities up and down the California coast are under mandatory evacuation orders, with a series of deadly storms inundating the state. Correspondent Carter Evans begins our coverage.
In Los Angeles County, torrential downpours opened up a sinkhole overnight. It swallowed two occupied cars. Firefighters had to use ladders to rescue the driver and a teenager from the 15-foot pit.
There is more stormy weather in the forecast. Meteorologist Craig Allen with our affiliate WCBS.
Some of this rain continues to be moderate to heavy, and it's not just rain now. There are severe storms that are embedded within the rain, so there is the possibility of lightning, thunder, and torrential downpours. Included with the general moderate to heavy rain that is falling across most of the state.
At least 14 deaths are blamed on the weather since the new year. CBS News first to report the Justice Department is reviewing about 10 documents marked classified discovered at an office President Biden used before he took office. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
Three sources confirmed this story to our CBS News team. Now, a preliminary inquiry by the Justice Department is nearing its conclusion, but as soon as we broke this news, it set off a political firestorm with Republicans who now control the House of Representatives, and they are asking for answers.
Police in Albuquerque say they've made an arrest in shooting attacks on the homes and offices of six elected officials since early December. Police Chief Harold Medina.
There is a suspect in custody. We do have one of the firearms involved in one of the incidents in our possession.
No word on who the suspect is. No one was hurt in the shootings. Numbers just in from European climate researchers. So the last 8 years were the hottest on record, and Europe experienced its hottest summer ever. Overall, they find the world is now 2.1 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than it was in the second half of the 19th century. Carbon emissions ticking up again. Correspondent Vicky Barker reports.
America's greenhouse gas emissions are almost back to pre-pandemic levels, endangering President Biden's climate goals. Most of last year's increase came not from cars and factories, but from homes and other buildings, which burn fossil fuels like natural gas in furnaces, hot water heaters, and other appliances.
The prize rises.
Across America with Mega Jackpots, it's Mega Millions.
Tonight's take is up to $1.1 billion, the third largest Mega Millions ever, and the fifth largest lottery prize in U.S. history. This man in Altadena, California, is trying his luck.
My wife told me to come back with the winning numbers. So what can I do?
Lump sum payout would be $568 million and change. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinier with your headlines. Some We Energy's customers this month opening bills much higher than usual. Mike Oslin from Juneau telling WISN News his latest bill was $430 compared to the $180 he usually pays. We Energy spokesman Brendan Conway blaming the cost of natural gas and the brutally cold weather in December. Conway says save money by turning the thermostat down, especially when you're not home or before bedtime. If you have information on criminal activity involving Frank Schumann, the Vilas County Sheriff's Office wants to talk to you. Schumann under investigation for more than 6 months for numerous offenses against women, including substantial battery, false imprisonment, recklessly endangering safety, and strangulation. Schumann arrested January 7th for substantial battery is being held on a $15,000 cash bond. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Just like music. Like music.
To relax my mind so I can be free and absorb the sound that keep me round, doing my thing constantly with no worries, peace to keep merry.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Tom, man, I know I've been trying to get you in. Let's go. What you want to talk about?
We the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's just that the American people, at least 30% of them, are out to lunch, I think. Again, like I always say, people say they love the children. Oh, we love the children. These people, honestly, they would be so happy if they could give a fetus a gun inside a woman. That's what I think. These people are so crazy and so nuts that they have a six-year-old. Six-year-old should be read books, yes, not being taught about guns. I mean, this is just absolutely insane. I remember when I was 12 or 11 or 12, and again, we had gun safety training, and the emphasis was on the safety.
Right.
The emphasis was always on the safety. And these people, it's just about shoot them up in the OK Corral, for God's sakes. It's just really, really disheartening.
And you're a guy who grew up in a rural area around guns.
Absolutely. And like I said, we had very good instructors at around age 11 or 12. And, you know, they taught us about a shotgun and all that kind of stuff. And they actually, we had to take so many hours of training on it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people like that in the state of Wisconsin, but we never... It was about being very, very responsible gun owner if you were going to have one. It wasn't about shoot 'em up. I mean, it was about hunting and things like that. Now, I myself did not want to do it, but
Yeah, but the kid was able. He knew where the gun was, right?
It's insane.
It was not locked up. It was not locked up. It was loaded, and the mother didn't realize that the kid had put it in his backpack. Come on, man.
Yeah, the mother and father, whoever it is, needs to be brought up on charges. Number one. Number two, we should have the right to sue that gun manufacturer that actually made that gun, because of the fact maybe that's when some of the lobbyists will start calming down and we'll actually get some laws passed. Because again, it all goes back to money and politics. All goes back to who's getting paid, follow the money, you know, and that's on the Democratic side. DCJ, I can talk negative about Democrats. That's on the Democratic side and also the Republican side of people that have not passed the actual gun safety laws in this country.
So,
and it's just absolutely insane.
So Tom, what a surprise. The Republicans want to do away with the 93,000 IRS agents that the government is bringing in order to bring in the revenue necessary to run the government. Why would you be opposed to that unless you're Donald Trump that's been cheating on your taxes? Why would you not want
that? I wish your conservative callers, they always seem to skip away whenever you hit topics like this, because it's unbelievable to me. Dave, CJ, Lou, where are you right now? Because I'll tell you what, Russian Ron told you exactly what he was going to do. And you guys are the ones that were promoting to not get Mandela Barnes into office? Are you kidding me? I mean, come on.
So, Tom, let me see if I got it right. Now the Republicans are talking about we've got to do something to balance the budget. Entitlements are where we have to go, Social Security and Medicare. Didn't Ron Johnson, while he was running, that was brought up, and Ron Johnson said, well, no, that's not what. But yet the first thing they're looking to do is cut Social Security and Medicare. And yet they were told, and yet Republicans voted yes for these people, even though some of them are receiving Social Security and Medicare. How does that work?
Yep. You know what? When they tell you who they are, believe them, because that's exactly who they are. And you know what? All you had to do was go back to the voting record, because Ron Johnson in the past also voted to cut Medicare and Social Security. Earl, there's a Google this online. It's called The Two Santa Claus Theory by Jude Winensky. And it's about the fact that when the Republicans are in office, all they do is scream and yell about the debt and the deficit. And when they're out of office, when they're in office, all they do is try to cut programs. You know, we're talking about right. Social Security. Although they'll chip away at it. They'll chip away at it. And the Democrats probably be like, oh, we have to get along. We have to, you know, because that's who we are. And therefore, we're going to cut the program a little bit. And what ends up happening, the program is bad. And then all of a sudden, people are yelling, I might get my full Medicare or Social Security. This whole program is bad. Oh, you know what? We need to privatize that. We need to, you know, put that into, Al Gore is right. Put it in a damn lockbox where no one can touch it. I mean, this is absolutely insane sanity. People don't see it. People that work for a company and hate the company, I don't know why they're working for the company. Same thing goes for government. If you hate government, then don't be in it, please. When Republicans run government, it all goes to crap.
Hey, Tom.
It doesn't work when Republicans are in office.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Earl.
Yeah, always. All right. So let me begin, as I stated earlier in the program, that I am going to be playing excerpts from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Because at the end of this month, everybody celebrates Dr. King Day, and the world stops, and everybody, it's now a holiday, and so people need to know who and what Dr. King was, what he stood for, why he was assassinated, and not just because he had a dream. You know, you really need to know, if you weren't around, you know, the power of him and why they had to take his life. So we're going to begin, as I stated, every week I'm going to play something different. But we're going to begin with a speech that Dr. King had in Stanford University back in 1967, and it's called The Other America. Connor, if you please. This is old footage, so it'll take a minute.
Dean LaPierre, Mr. Bell, members of the faculty and members of the student body of this great institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there are several things that one could talk about before such a large, concerned, and enlightened audience. There are so many problems facing our nation and our world that one could just take off anywhere. But today I would like to talk mainly about the race problem, since I'll have to rush right out and go to New York to talk about Vietnam tomorrow, and I've been talking about it a great deal this week and weeks before that. But I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. And in a sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, culture and education for their minds, and freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. And this other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions, and they find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental skies. And as we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many people of various backgrounds live in this other America. Some are Mexican-Americans, some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Millions of them are Appalachian whites. Probably the largest group in this other America in proportion to its size in the population is the American Negro. The American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights and the struggle to make these two Americas one America is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade or maybe 12 years, we struggled all across the South in glorious struggles to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodations. Public transportation was segregated, and often we had to sit in the back, and within transportation within cities, we often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. And the struggle was to deal with these problems. Now, certainly they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. By the thousands, we protested these conditions. We made it clear that it was ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell experiences than to accept segregation and humiliation. By the thousands, students and adults decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protest conditions there.
Connor, can you put that on pause for a second? For 1 second. Reality. So when you hear people talk about critical race theory and the fact that they don't want this truth taught, that people used to actually in this nation, American citizens, people of color, could not sit in a seat inside of this country that was open in my lifetime because of the color of their skin, no other reason, that happened in this country. And then yet you have people who are willing to stand up and say, we don't want that talk, right? My grandparents, that's in their time. My father and mother, that's their time, that they had to live through that. And yet you have people today who have the unmitigated gall to say, I don't want that taught to my children because my children are going to feel bad. Hit it up again, man.
Standing up for the best in the American dream and seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Many things were gained as a result of these years of struggle. In 1964, the Civil Rights Bill came into being after the Birmingham movement, which did a great deal to subpoena the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma movement in 1965, we were able to get a voting rights bill. Now, all of these things represented strides. But we must see that the struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. And it's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good, solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine quality integrated education a reality. And so today we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality. It's not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes. And I'm convinced that many of the very people who supported us in the struggle in the South are not willing to go all the way now. I came to see this in a very difficult and painful way in Chicago over the last year where I've lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march with us in Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago.
So as we prepare to go to a break, this is not being played to make anybody feel bad. This is being played because we're almost at the same place today as we were back then. This is 1967. The things that he is talking about, that was the reality of 1967. We are in 2023, and the same thing exists today. Only in broader perspectives in this country. And as a person of color, and as a person who was around during those times and is still around today, and we have not seen major strides as we hear people continuing to talk about the greatness of the nation. And yet there's a segment of it that continues to lag behind. And we know why, some of us. And so we continue to ask questions why the nation has not made the adjustment. So my grandfather went to his death as his father did and his father before him without there being any equality. My father went to his grave without there being any equality. I'm going to go to my grave without there being any equality. And I'm pretty sure that my sons are going to go to their graves without there being any equality. You got to ask the questions why. How long is it going to take? Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
CBS News Brief. There's more stormy weather in the forecast for coastal California, where at least 14 people have been killed since the start of the new year. CBS's Carter Evans.
In San Luis Obispo County, at least one person died when their car was overtaken, and a five-year-old boy went missing during a rescue, believed to have been swept away. In Santa Cruz County, the San Lorenzo River quickly climbed to a major flood stage.
We've been out of power, just got it back on for only one day to lose it again.
CBS News first to report. 10 documents marked classified discovered at an office President Biden used before he was elected. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
The U.S. Attorney's review is nearing its completion, and then the Attorney General will decide if a criminal investigation is warranted.
Brits are lined up to buy Prince Harry's new book, Spare, after it went on sale today.
I was there when Diana bought her book out. I queued up then. Now I'm queuing up again, and I'm enjoying myself.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Governor Evers says he won't support a flat tax or universal school choice. Evers tells the Upfront program those proposals are bad for Wisconsin's bottom line. Majority Republicans who control the state legislature support both ideas. The governor will deliver his budget plan next month, then lawmakers will spend the next few months revising it. The boy accused of killing Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls won't find out if his trial is moving to adult court until August. The judge in the case is turning down a prosecutor's request to move that hearing up to June. The suspect's lawyer says he can't prepare his case that quickly. 10-year-old Lily was assaulted and killed last year. In sports, the Bucks beat the Knicks last night 111-107. Tonight, the Badgers host Michigan State. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m.
Arms of mine, they are lonely, lonely and feeling blue.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As we approach, Dr. King's holiday, I remember the battle, the fight that it took to get this holiday for Dr. King, which I fought against because I thought that to say that there's one day that we're going to honor a man who gave his life, never hurt a person, and who knew he was going to die and knew he was going to be assassinated, but kept fighting for what was right. And I never will forget as a young boy watching him, we were able to see this struggle on television. And so the reason I am so confident in what I'm talking about as it relates to Dr. King is because I saw it. Not anything I read about, I saw it. And so when we now hear people talking about his legacy and giving this day and taking the Dr. King memorabilia out of their closets as they do every year and dust it off, and then we're going to televisions and everybody will talk about Dr. King for 24 hours and the impact that this man had, and then they'll put his memory back up in the closet like you do with your Christmas ornaments, and won't talk about him again until, you know, 2024, January 31st. Well, he meant more than that to me and impacted my life in that way. So we're gonna do some Dr. King excerpts throughout this entire month. This is the first one, and it's called The Other America. And it's 1967 at Stanford University. Connor, if you please.
Morally and even financially, what we were doing in Birmingham and Selma were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine equality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. And so as a result of all of this, we see many problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something that is often overlooked, but Negroes generally live in worse slums today than 20 or 25 years ago. In the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court's decision on desegregation was rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. And so the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of the Negro is today 50% less than whites. And as we look at these problems, we see them growing and developing every day. And we see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of the 30s. The unemployment rate of the nation as a whole is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes it's about 8.4%. But these are the persons who are in the labor market, who still go to employment agencies to seek jobs, and so they can be calculated. The statistics can be gotten because they are still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They've lost hope. They've come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. And so they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who would estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons would be 6 or 7% in the Negro community. And that means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. Among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30 and 40%. And so you can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, and staggering depression that we face in our everyday lives. Now, the other thing that we've got to come to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, that is that racism is still alive in American society and much more widespread than we realize. And we must see racism for what it is. It is a myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is the false and tragic notion that one particular group, one particular race is responsible for all of the progress, all of the insights, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is totally depraved, innately impure, and innately inferior. In the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a sick and tragic man who carried racism to its logical conclusion. And he ended up leading a nation to the point of killing about 6 million Jews. And this is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide. If one says that I am not good enough to live next door to him, if one says that I am not good enough to eat at a lunch counter, or to have a good, decent job, or to go to school with him merely because of my race, he is saying consciously or unconsciously that I do not deserve to exist. To use a philosophical analogy here, racism is not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assertion that certain people are behind culturally or otherwise because of environmental conditions. It is the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. And this is the great tragedy of it. I say that however unpleasant it is, we must honestly see and admit that racism is still deeply rooted all over America. It's still deeply rooted in the North, and it's still deeply rooted in the South. Now, this leads me to say something about another discussion that we hear a great deal, and that is the so-called white backlash. And I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon. Not something that just came into being because shouts of black power, or because Negroes engaged in riots in Watts, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a fair housing bill out of existence before anybody shouted black power, or before anybody rioted in Watts. It may well be that shouts of black power and riots in Watts and the Harlems and the other areas are the consequences of the white backlash rather than the cause of them. What it is necessary to see is that there has never been a single solid monistic determined commitment on the part of the vast majority of white Americans on the whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality. This is something that truth impels all men of goodwill to admit. It is said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of exiles. But it doesn't take us long to realize that America has been the home of its white exiles from Europe. But it has not evinced the same kind of maternal care and concern for its black exiles from Africa. It is no wonder that in one of his sorrow songs, a Negro could sing out, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What great estrangement, what great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such a metaphor as they looked over their lives. What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice and racial equality. But over and over again, at the same time, it made certain backward steps. And this has been the persistence of the so-called white backlash in 1863, the Negro was freed from the bondage of physical slavery. But at the same time, the nation refused to give him land to make that freedom meaningful. And at that same period, America was giving millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that America was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor that would make it possible to grow and develop. And refused to give that economic floor to its black peasant, so to speak.
If you're just joining us and wondering what is going on, as I stated earlier, I am going to play excerpts from Dr. King's speeches from now through the end of this month, because I think it is critically important that where we are in this society today. This speech was from 1967. It is Dr. King's The Other America as he talks, and this was a year before his assassination, as he talks about what he sees at that point in time in 1967. And after all the promises that were made during the civil rights struggle, the fact that there had not been major changes in the society, and you can play it. And if I hadn't told you and people didn't know who Dr. King was, and we're talking about 1967, you could close your eyes and be talking about today. And so, you know, it really is, I think, important for people in this nation to understand that when you hear people saying, I don't want that critical race theory being taught, I don't want people to, you know, white men and you want to make white men feel guilty. All of these things that you hear people saying, and maybe some weren't around during this time, didn't know about it, but I did, and I do. And I think that in a position such as where I am, that if you don't utilize the platform to educate people on what has taken place, the past, the present, and the future of this society, and what is happening.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 41. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 28. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs around 40. Chance for mixed precipitation Thursday with highs in the mid-30s, cloudy Friday. About an inch of snow Thursday through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, as we approach the Dr. King holiday, I just thought it was critically important that we really give a perspective about who Dr. King really was, and that we don't get to that point by, you know, celebrating his birthday on, you know, the 31st of January. And I wanted people to get to understand just who he was and the importance of what kind of a man that was, who was taken away at the tender age of 39 years old. And as you hear people talk about critical race theory, and we don't need that to be taught, what needs to be taught is this. This is the reality of what took place in this country, right? And because there are people who don't want to know that, it's no different than the Native American and the fact that they were wiped out. Why would you not want that to be taught? Just because you don't want to hear it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So, Connor, let's go back to Dr. King's 1967 speech, The Other America, at Stanford University.
That emancipation for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roofs to cover their heads. He went on to say that it was freedom without bread to eat, freedom without land to cultivate. It was freedom and famine at the same time. But it does not stop there. In 1875, the nation passed a civil rights bill and refused to enforce it. In 1964, the nation passed a weaker civil rights bill. And even to this day, that bill has not been totally enforced in all of its dimensions. The nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, for the poverty-stricken, for the disadvantaged, and brought into being a poverty bill. But at the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good skirmish against poverty. White politicians in suburbs talk eloquently against open housing, and in the same breath contend that they are not racist. Now all of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of basic constitutional and God-given rights for Negroes and other disadvantaged groups for more than 300 years. So these conditions, persistence of widespread poverty, of slums, and of tragic conditions in schools and other areas of life, all of these things have brought about a great deal of despair and a great deal of desperation, a great deal of disappointment and even bitterness in the Negro communities. And today, all of our cities confront huge problems. All of our cities are potentially powder kegs as a result of the continued existence of these conditions. Many in moments of anger, many in moments of deep bitterness, engage in riots. And let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that non-violence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That in a real sense, it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions.
Before we go to a break, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. As Dr. King was just talking about the riots and what was going on at that point in time as people just had had enough of what was taking place in the major cities where people of color were dwelling. It's no different today, Connor. People ask questions about, why are they doing all that killing? Why so many people being murdered in the central cities across the nation? The conditions that create the environment, and then you mix in guns where people struggle to even keep a roof over their heads, to work, to be able to provide a decent living for their families in 2023. At least back in those times, you could at least, for the most part, get a decent job. Some of us. But not today. Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marcus & Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.